That was Sugar Ray Rayford and the track The Revelator off his new album, Somebody Save Me. You're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. A few weeks ago, I sat down with Ray before his show at the Paradise Theater in Paonia. We talked about his new album, how he was writing and conducting for his gospel choir at age 16. We talked Motown, and how after 20 years of being a totally independent musician with the support of his wife slash manager, he now has a whole media team behind him. We also talked about the differences between a concert and a party. Here's Ray talking about what you can expect at one of his parties.
Well, concerts usually provoke in people's mind to come, sit down, listen, you know, have a little red wine, eat some cheese, you know, maybe a little crouton, some bruschetta, you know. No, we come to party. This is more like malt liquor and fried chicken. I want you to talk to your neighbor. I want you to kick off your shoes. I want you to dance. Get butt naked. I want to see everything wiggling. This is fun. It's a party. It's not a concert. So I don't like that term, concert. So I always tell people, it's not a concert. It's a party. And that's what it means to me. And I got some of the greatest musicians in the world. And a lot of them, when they joined with me, that was the thing. That they had always been people who were so strict. Like, and I was like, listen, I hired you because I like the way you play. So play.
Yeah.
You know?
That you kind of give them permission to, or freedom.
To be what they are, musicians.
Great.
Yeah. Like this. I don't do set lists. So the guys have to know my entire catalog. And people say, well, why don't you do set lists? And I'm always like, you know, how can I write something or perform something or make something for someone, specifically for someone, if I've never met them and know nothing about them? How can you do that?
And you mean the crowd, the audience.
And to me, they are. They're my patient. They're my muse. They're my everything. So how can I write a script for you or how the show is going to go when I've never been there? I can't feel the energy. I think we average around altogether close to 300 shows a year around the world. So can you imagine doing the same song with the same joke at the same point at the same time? I mean, I don't think I would be in music. That's not even where I join music. So I don't believe in set lists. I believe that it should be a spirit of the moment, how the crowd feels, how I feel from the crowd at that moment and at that time.
And you're playing with a 7-piece band tonight?
Well, including myself is 7. It's 6 band members and myself is 7. There are times where we can go up to 9, but B3, piano, bass, drums, guitar, saxophone, and trumpet.
You're a singer-songwriter.
Yes.
Do you also write the music? And
in the past, other than this album, the new album, Somebody Save Me, on the 40 Below Records, is me doing a departure and trying to do something different. And I allowed a lot of things that I've never done. But in the past, my writing partner used to be my bass player, which was also my music director, Mr. Ralph Carter. And Ralph wrote all the big hits for Eddie Money when he was still with the Eddie Money Band. And so where we would do it is I would have an idea. And I would give the idea to Ralph. And Ralph was one of those people who plays everything. And usually within 2 weeks, Ralph would come back and like, taking that idea that was literally like, maybe I'll make a peanut butter sandwich, you know. And he had taken that, come back, and it was a Monte Cristo. You know, it was a grilled cheese sandwich on top with peanut butter jelly and ham in the middle and toasted, you know, to this unbelievable. And that would be the music. And then the way I write is very strange because I don't like sitting and actually writing down. It's very stifling for me. And, you know, I have ADD and my thoughts start to leave. The way my brain works is once I hear music, you call it song, but I see a movie. That make any sense?
Yeah.
The song puts a movie in my head, and I sing the movie. And then usually I have the entire song. 5 minutes I've sang the song just from hearing the music. Then we'll go back and just fix one or two little things, but that's usually the way I write.
Like storytelling.
That's my favorite thing to do.
Let's talk about your new album.
Yes.
Your new album is called Somebody Save Me.
Yeah. Somebody Save Me was a departure from the regular blues. I was looking for another direction to go because I'd never want to be put into a box. And I just come back from a huge world tour. And I was in Memphis. I was there to be a judge for the Blues Foundation, for the BMAs and the IBC. And I just signed my first deal with a booking agency because up until last year, I've been independent. And it's always fun in this business when people come to me all the time and ask me now about getting a manager and a booking agency and all that stuff. I said, you don't want that. And they're like, what do you mean you don't want that? I said, you know, that costs you money and blah, 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 blah. I said, you know, you need to get out there and really do it on your own. And as we say in this business, you don't get record deals, you don't get managers, you don't get booking agencies until you get to the point where you don't need them. And that's just the way it works. And I did it so that with the booking agent, so that my wife and manager, who's still my manager, didn't have to do it all. But we did it all for 20 years. So I'm in Memphis. And I have a 3-album deal on the table from another big agency. I won't call their name, but, you know, they were kind of dragging their feet because they had a couple of things going, but I was reluctant. I could have signed it and sent it back. But something in my mind was just like, you know, if I sign this deal, this just be another hunka-chunka, because even though they support these different artists, I knew what they wanted me to do. And I knew that, you know, with everyone, so many people passing away and me having been with the Bandage Boys and made up this great name and just being blues, and I love that, and I'll always be a blues gospel man, but I was just looking for something a little different. I didn't want to make the same album, and if you look over my solo albums, I think there's 6, they're all very different, you know, and I believe they're really good, but they're all very different in the way I was feeling at that time. And so as I'm standing on the corner in front of the Orpheum Theater, and I'm supposed to go in, my good friend Del Toro Richardson is playing. But I just didn't want to go in. I literally was mentally and physically exhausted. At that time, my wife and I were standing on the corner, and I could see Mr. Bruce Iguilar for Alligator Records across the street. And at that moment, my booking agency, Rick Booth, walks up to me and he's like, Sugar, what's going on? I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. You know, we're shooting stuff. And there's this little guy standing next to him with a ball cap. And he's like, man, I want to introduce you to somebody. And I was like, okay, who is this? He's like, this is Eric Corin. And I'm like, how you doing, man? He's like, oh, man, you know, I really like your stuff. We talked for a few moments, and he really wanted to talk business. I said, I don't talk business. This is my manager. You want to talk? Yo, y'all can go over there and talk business. I'm hanging. And so they went and talked business. 2 days later, we were back in L.A. with a meeting, sitting down, talking to Eric that quick. And I really liked the way he was thinking and the direction he was thinking of going and everything. And I said, I like this, man. You know, so send me a contract. Within 2 weeks, 3 weeks of us having that meeting, we had a signed deal, and we started collaborating. What he wanted to know was, he wanted to write it. He had all these ideas. He had his guys that he likes to use in the studio. I wanted to use my band, but that's a whole nother thing. But I love the ideas. So he just took stories from my head, and he just went out and fleshed them into real songs. And next thing you know, I was at Robbie Krieger's studio from The Doors. So what we recorded it. And he had some really great players there, Rick Holmstrom, you know, from Mavis Staples Band, the old guitarist, and Sasha Smith and Matt and Todd's crew and all these guys. And I was like, okay. And it came out really, really, really well. And then he did something that I've never had. And that was, he put unbelievable money behind the album. I now have 4 publicists. I have 1 in the U.S., 1 in the U.K., 1 in France, 1 in Germany. I never had that type. I have a media person now. There's a person that does all my media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that. You know, it's really the different full booking agency with 4 agents that book me. And so it's a little getting used to, considering that I've been independent for so long. But
it sounds like you've found a way to kind of maintain your independence and not be put in a box, but gain support.
Took 20 years of that. Took 20 years of, you know, grinding clubs, festivals, you know, 3-4 month tours. And like I said, you'll get to a point, if you're serious about this and you do the business side and the due diligence, you'll get to a point where people see you, they know who you are. And, you know, you have to be smart enough that when the door opens, to know it's the right door, but be prepared for what's on the other side of the door. So it's been funny. Matter of fact, the booking agency, you know, looks at my wife and they're like, how? All these places you played, how did she book that, as well as she was booking all the flights, the hotels, the everything? Now, remember, this woman's a doctor. She's got a hospital run. She was doing this in her part-time.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is Pam.
Pam, my wife. She is the boss for real. That woman's mind is so damn sexy that it's like, I can't remember what I did yesterday. I'm like, Okay.
If you're just tuning in, this is Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton, and a few weeks ago, Sugar Ray Rayford stopped by KVNF to talk with me about his new album, Somebody Save Me. The new album includes a song called You and I, and I learned from Ray that this song is about his wife, Pam. Here is You and I.
Cry. Wipe those teardrops from your eyes. When we're apart, it's an awful crime. Let's go and leave it all behind. You and I. Hand in hand and side by side. You and I. Until the end of the sky, bluebirds singing on a wire, Cupid and Venus must have conspired, because the day we met, all the stars aligned, you and I. And I ain't got a dime. Credit rating is going in decline. Feels like I'm going out of my mind. Everywhere, all the people are fighting. I just think of you and I feel alright. You and I. Hey!
That was You and I off of Sugar Ray Rayford's new album called Somebody Save Me.
It sounds like you have a few love songs on this new album.
Oh, definitely.
I think like half of the songs are...
Well, you know, Somebody Save Me is kind of lovey-dovey, but, you know, Cards on the Table and You and I, Is It Just Me? Those are definitely love songs, you know. But when you start talking about Time to Get Moving, The Revelator, originally the album was going to be called Angels and Devils or Dark and Light. Because that's what the album is. I always tell Eric, to me, the album is about the duality of humans. You know, we all have that light and dark. And there's a few things, you know, I get political on it. I get semi-religious on it. It's just, the thing is, I'm really taken aback in this great country of ours that what bothers me is we don't talk to each other. And what I mean by that is that the great thing about America is you've always had the right to have your opinion. But what made America great is that we always listened, whether we agreed with you or not. We gave you the dignity to have your opinion, and then you had the dignity to listen to my opinion. And then we had the dignity to look at you both as grown men and humans who have opposite ideals. But that didn't make you a bad person. You weren't evil. I didn't have to cut you out. You know, I had the dignity to sit and listen to your argument. Today, if a person says one word that you don't like, they're banned, they're dip. And it's like, how can you have, you're not having a conversation then. If you're only getting your side of a view, you're not having a conversation. You're just running with your side of a view. And so this album, I wanted to try to maybe hold that mirror up. Like, hey, do y'all realize what you're doing? You know, I'm picking no sides. I'm talking to just American human beings. Do you realize what you're doing? Like I tell people, we're both trying to get to the mountaintop. You know, whether you choose the left or the right, I'm not going to kick you off. That's the side you chose. Fine. We both at the top. Now we're at the top. We can shake hands. You can still have your belief. I can have my belief, but we're at the top. The way we're going, we're going to each have our own opinion, but we're going to be at the bottom. This country is not a bottom country. And I think it would implode if it ever landed there. So come on, man. We can't use old diagrams or old contracts to what's happening now because things have changed too much. But the one thing we can do is at least have the respect and dignity to listen to one another.
Do you kind of talk about this in Time to Get Moving?
Yes.
I noticed. This one's a little political.
It's political, but it's not me choosing a side. It's not saying I'm Republican, I'm Democrat, I'm green. All it is saying, as I said earlier, is holding the mirror up and like, you know, let's stop missing words and call things by their name. Racism, bigotry, and scapegoating blame. Prescription pills, oil spills, unpaid bills, dog whistles, thoughts and prayers, fake soothsayers, damn the ozone layer. It's like, I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong, but like, just look, you know? I mean, it's not a political force, whether you're a Democrat, independent, or Republican. It's, hey, you're human, you're an American. Hey, we need to wake up. This we can't sustain this crap. I mean, this is not sustainable. Anyway, I'm an old ex-Marine, so maybe my mind goes different ways, but you know, that's what that song is about. It's just me wanting to just grab people like, hey, wake the heck up, buddy, you know. So
now let's take a listen to Time to Get Moving.
Yeah.
Together now, before it's all too late.
That was Time to Get Movin' off of Sugar Ray Rayford's new album, Somebody Save Me. You're tuned in to Talkin' Music here on KVNF. Stay tuned to hear more about Sugar Ray Rayford and all things music.
I totally see the duality on this album where there is the light and the dark.
You know, Eric did a great job. Like I said, he wrote these and he took some of my ideas, but he went way beyond. And when I heard the songs, I was like, okay, wow, okay. It came out great, but you and I, we wanted to do something, again, not just our regular 1-4-5 blues. So if you listen to it, you can hear the Motown, you can hear the Stax, you can hear the Muscle Shoals, and it was deliberately done that way because we really wanted to bring and showcase these sounds again, because no one plays this stuff. No one does 6-8 ballads anymore. No one, you know, baby, baby, now don't you cry. Wipe those teardrops from your eyes. When we're apart, it's an awful crime. Let's just go and leave it all behind. You and I mean, like, it's Motown. It's almost like you're back to 1960, 1970, you're in Detroit, and you can just see the afros and the bell bottles and the hot pants, and like, oh, man. But we wanted that. You know, we wanted to bring that feel back. And I think it's time for that now. I mean, it lost its way for a while, especially what happened with R&B and soul and blues. And you know, a lot of young people today don't even realize that blues and soul was the same music. And I get that all the time. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I say, well, most of you guys only know blues from Chicago. That's Chicago blues. That's electric blues. That's fine. I said, but when you come down to Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, Arkansas, you know, we would listen to people like Tyrone Davis. We would listen to Bobby Womack. We would listen to Albert Collins, Little Milton, you know, which was way more like this. Chicago had guitar, harmonica, piano. Down south, we were using guitar, horns, vocals, background singers, keyboards. So we were still playing blues, but the blues had a lot more soul to it. Since I started my band, I've tried to do that. I've tried to be true, but as I always tell people, I'm not from Chicago. I'm from Texas, and I grew up gospel, and the sounds of blues that I heard sounded like this. So 10 years ago, when I first started playing festivals, I would show up, and broke, like I'm always broke because it's a huge band. And I would see these bands with a guitar or two guitars and bass and drums, or a guitar, harmonica, and drums. Maybe they might bring a piano. But then when I would walk on the stage with two or three horns, a B3, guitar, bass, the sound, people would just be like, you know, because they haven't heard it in 40, 50 years. So I was like, this is my sound. And this is an old throwback to the sounds that I grew up in the South, the way I heard blues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. That sound is amazing. People be like, I said, listen, we go play someplace, and they're like, oh, this is the best band I've ever heard. And I want to tell them, like, no, it's not. And we're good. We're all right. I'm not going to say that. I mean, I've worked hard. I say, but what you're hearing is, you've gotten used to hearing guitar, harmonica, or two guitars, great players doing their thing. I say, but now you're bringing a whole different melodic range. When I look over and I'm doing a 90-minute show, and instead of it being a guitarist that's taking every solo, maybe I'll tell the tenor sax to take a solo. Maybe the B3 will take a solo. Maybe the trumpet will take a solo. Now the whole dynamics have totally changed.
And you grew up singing in a gospel choir.
In church, yeah. Many gospel choirs, actually, yeah. Yeah. When I was 16, before I left, I was choir director of a choir called IYC, which stood for Interdenominational Youth Choir. I had 350 choir members. I was 16. Most of the time I was writing and directing.
So you kind of got an opportunity pretty young to start writing.
Especially gospel. It's like, and gospel also gave you that black gospel. I have to say that because that's my experience, folks, not because of anything else. I grew up in the deep South, and we're not even talking about Baptists. We're talking about holiness. Church of God in Christ was like Baptists on steroids. But we as musicians and singers in the Church of God in Christ were thrown to the lion's den at a very young age. I mean, you're thrown out in there and it's sink or swim. The great and the most terrifying thing about being in these churches are black folks are different, because black folks will come up and tell you whether you have it or not. You know, they would just come up and flat out, you know, okay, you get in there, work on that a little bit, or they could come to like, baby, not everybody's meant to be a singer. Some people meant to be the usher. They would tell you. So by the time you left the church and got into quote unquote circular music, you were already leaps and bounds ahead of most people that were in the business that didn't have that experience, because you knew when you was on the stage of the things that actually worked, that were real. By the time they allow you to be out front at the church, you're already a pro. You're beyond pro. You know, so it's amazing.
It seems like that really set some standards for you. And
yeah. We used to have a saying among our own musicians, you know, don't step up if you can't keep up. And it was serious because, you know, it's a big deal. Yeah.
Where are you off to next?
Oh, good Lord. They're killing me. At the moment, I'm booked through to 2023. It's going to be a busier, busy few years. So
when are you going to write?
I'm always writing. I've lived a lot of lives in my time. So I have a lot of stories and a lot of ideas and a lot of emotions left to give out. So,
well, where can we find your music?
You can find me definitely on my website at sugarrayrayford.com. But you can also go to iTunes, Walmart, pretty much anywhere you get your music. It's on Spotify. It's on Pandora. So anywhere you get your music, it's easy to find me. And just look up Sugar Ray Rayford, and there it is.
Well, thank you so much for coming by KVNF.
It was fun, so thank you very much.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music. For KVNF, I'm Corey Stanton. We'll go out on Sugar Ray Rayford's title track, Somebody Save Me. Thanks for tuning in.
There's a struggle in my mind. It's a real tug of war. Back and forth, the pendulum swings. And I'm so dizzy, I'm down on the floor. Somebody save me. I can't make it on my own. Somebody save me. And I'm on a dangerous road. Somebody save me. I'm running out of hope. There's a thorn in my side. A nagging pain that won't end. There's a hole deep in my heart, and it's opening wide once again. Somebody save me. I can't make it on my own. Somebody save me. Save me. I'm running out of hope. Out of hope. Late at night, I toss and I turn, while the voices echo around in my mind. Too much to bear. This lonely, lonely feeling down in my soul. And lately, I can't find a friend. Somebody save me. I can't make it on my own. Somebody save me.